This is Doug Miller. What was wrong with the old covenant? Well, several things. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time with the Word of God in hand. Speak into this microphone and know full well that God will honor His Word. There are many people out there who are listening. All will profit from it, both the saved and the lost, and all will be held accountable for it. So bring your Bibles. Come along. And look into this awesome and wonderful thing that we call the Bible, the Word of God. We're in the 8th chapter of Hebrews. We'll begin with verse 1 today. Why not call a friend and tell them to listen in as well? Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists for one reason and one reason only, and that's to see this Word go out. As far out as we can get it to, as many as we can get it out to. And we do that because we are confident that when we put it out there, it will have the effect God intends. It will change lives, it will open eyes, and it will even condemn and convict. So it's an awesome thing to be able to look into this book. Call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, as I always tell you, we'd love to hear from you. Always a joy to get letters from our listeners out there, to know that you're listening, to know where you are, to answer any questions you might have, to help you in any way that we can. I know that some of you out there, you probably don't have the time to write. Well, if you don't have, you don't have. Some of you are a little bit reluctant to write anyone at a program like this for fear that you will go on some mailing list and we will begin sending you letters asking you for money and so on and so forth. Nothing like that's going to happen. It has never happened on Dialogue. Don't worry about that. But let us hear from you. Anything we can help you with, be glad to do it. Now, our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, we have got in chapter 8 of Hebrews some information about the new covenant and the old covenant. And I asked a question at the outset. What was wrong with the old covenant? Something had to be wrong, or inadequate at least. There had to be some problem, or there would be no reason to have a new covenant. Now, some of you out there, some of my dear and very highly valued Jewish listeners, you probably don't believe there is a new covenant. Well, let me ask you to reconsider that. There is a new covenant. Jeremiah talks about the new covenant. Ezekiel talks about the new covenant. If you want to go back into the Old Testament and look at these things, as a matter of fact, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 through 34, if you want to go look at this. If there is a new covenant, then it stands to reason that there was something that needed to be changed about the old one. So the question again, why? What was wrong with it? If God spoke, if God said, here's the covenant and here's what's going on, well, something must have been wrong. Well, there was something wrong. And, of course, the old covenant, the main thing wrong with it was no one ever kept it. And no one is keeping it to this day. Now, for those of you out there, if you think you are living under the old covenant still and keeping the old covenant, you are not. Please, I beg you, I implore you, be honest about this. No one has kept the law of Moses for years. There is no, you can hold a feast day in Israel if you want and call it the Day of Atonement. There is no Day of Atonement because there is no Ark of the Covenant. There is no place to place the blood of the slain lamb. There is no high priest in place to take the blood of the slain lamb into the Holy of Holies. There is no Holy of Holies. Blood sacrifice ceased in Israel a long time ago. And without that, friends, you are not keeping the old covenant. And what does this tell you? Well, either there is no covenant at all now, or there is something new going on, something different. Let's begin by looking in verse 1 of Hebrews 8 and see if we can figure this thing out. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. What things? Well, back in chapter 7, as we've been seeing, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Here is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. Now we begin to get some insight in these first two verses into what was wrong with the old covenant. The old covenant was perfectly legitimate as far as it went. It was certainly of God. No one who is Bible-believing would deny that God was involved in this and that God was the one who set it up and that Moses and the people of Israel were the ones that voluntarily entered into it. But there's a problem with it. We have a high priest. Those of you who are trying to live under the old covenant, you do not have. You had one, but where is he? Well, he's long since dead. All of that is long gone. You had a tabernacle, but it wasn't the true tabernacle. It was merely a shadow, a picture of the true tabernacle. Where is the tabernacle? It's long gone. There's no tabernacle around anymore. I don't know where you'd find it. And for those of you who are, you know, Christian and in Christendom, who look at certain buildings, you know, I had some young ladies come by the house the other day. They were LDS, Latter-day Saints, you know, from Utah, and they believe they've got this magnificent, cathedral or whatever they wish to call it up there in Salt Lake City. There's nothing going on there. There's nothing going on at St. Peter's in Rome, I'm sorry, or at St. Paul's in England, or at St. Whatever, Patrick's in New York. There is nothing in some church building in this city. I don't care where it is or what denomination it is that makes it somehow holy. There was at one time a temple on this earth, and even earlier than that, a tabernacle on this earth where God did indeed dwell. But that long since departed. I mean, the glory departed. Read the prophet Ezekiel again. And the temple is destroyed, and there is no tabernacle. But there is a true tabernacle. And here we get once again something about the new covenant or something that was wrong with the old covenant. As long as it was something made by men, it could be destroyed by men. As long as the law was something given to men, it was a foregone conclusion. They weren't going to keep it. I mean, if you think that they were going to keep the law, I don't know how foolish you could be. If you think they have kept the law, I ask you to carefully go back and read the Old Testament again. I've been reading through the book of Isaiah and Ezekiel in my personal devotionals, and you see the scathing judgment of God that comes down on these people because they didn't keep the covenant, and indeed they could not. Let's go on here into verse 3 of chapter 8 of Hebrews. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Now, why did you even have a high priest? Well, they tell you here. Writer of Hebrews tells you to offer gifts and sacrifices. And this is what they were appointed for. It was both gifts and sacrifices. Here was the man, you know, the burning of the incense before the altar, the bringing in of the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies, the placing of the blood on the altar. That's what his purpose was. That's what his point was, to go in and represent the people before God. Well, if you're still trusting in the old covenant, who's representing you before God now? And it's very interesting. Once again, I love the Jews. I take second place to no man in my love and respect for the Jewish people. But I feel sorry for them, too. Because many of them, and many of you out there, if you're listening to me and you're Jewish, you know very well, if you're honest, that throughout Israel and in among Jews in general, there is a great disbelief in God, particularly in this country and even in Israel. The whole secular Jewish bunch, they don't believe in God. They've long since ceased to believe that. And the Orthodox who do believe in God are the minority in Israel. And look at it here. If you're Jewish and you're still depending on this, the old covenant, well, why would you believe? There's nothing there anymore. It's all gone. If you have no high priest, who's representing you before God? Well, the easy way to answer that is to say, well, there's no God. I mean, that was just a bunch of myths and fairy tales back there. Well, listen, friends, there is a God. And he is very real, and he is very living, and he cannot be approached lightly. In fact, in our sinful condition, he cannot be approached at all. We need, even as Israel needed, someone to represent us as a go-between before God. Now, look back at Israel, back in the old days. Do you think that just any Jew, any Israelite, could, at his or her leisure, stroll into the Holy of Holies? Well, they would have died on the spot. If they even tried, they would have been dragged out and stoned. God had made it very clear in his law that there was only one who could approach unto him, and that was the high priest. And the high priest, as we've been talking about, had to be out of the tribe of Levi, and more specifically, out of the line of Aaron. Now, if that's the case of a temple and a tabernacle here on earth, how much more do you think that's the case with approaching God in the heavenlies? You know, there's a real light, frivolous approach to what people call religion today. I mean, you go down to the churches today, the church buildings, and you see what's going on, and it's really kind of sad, because there was a time when there was an awe and a reverence that people demonstrated when they came into the presence of God Almighty. That's gone now. And, we have Jesus being presented as our buddy, our pal. People going to these so-called contemporary worship services, wearing jeans, shorts, cutoffs, flip-flops, tank tops, what have you. Because after all, we've got to be up to date, and we've got to be relevant. And these kids, you know, they need to feel at home, and so on and so forth. Well, let me tell you something. You go back and look at the Old Testament and at the New, and anyone who was ever in the presence of Almighty God did not come in lightly. They went down on their faces in absolute terror. Read the first chapter of Revelation, how John reacted when he found himself in the presence of the glorified Christ. Go back and read the 17th chapter of Matthew and see how the disciples reacted up on the Mount of Transfiguration when Christ was transfigured before them. Read this. It's an awesome thing. And we need a representative. Now, the book says, 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 5, that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I can remember a Sunday school teacher telling me one time, there is no mediator between God and men. We don't need that. Well, I understood what she meant, but she was wrong. She meant that, you know, the priesthood that had to Martin Luther was in rebellion against, if you want to put it that way. And I understood what she meant, but she was wrong. And I challenged her, and I said, can you show me in the New Testament where it says we don't need a mediator, that there is no mediator? Well, she said, it's in there. And I said, it's not in there. What is in there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, I wound up offending her. But nevertheless, that is the truth. We do need a mediator, and we have a mediator. And that mediator is not Mary. It is not St. Jude or St. Patrick or St. anyone. It is Christ Jesus, our Lord, our great high priest, who has entered into the high and holy and heavenly place with his own blood. Verse 4 of chapter 8. If he were on earth, he should not be a priest. Ah, that's interesting, isn't it? Seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Now listen to this and take this in. Do you know why God said to Moses when he was making the tabernacle? Go back and read Exodus 25. Very important. God said to him, you be careful. I'm going to show you the pattern, and you make the tabernacle and everything in it according to the pattern I show you. Do you know why God said that? Because the tabernacle on earth was to be a reflection of something else, a shadow and a reflection of something that was the true tabernacle, eternal in the heavens. What does that say to you and to me? It says to you and to me that there is a place in this universe, a place where God dwells, in which there is a true tabernacle, a true place, and that anything on this earth is merely a reflection of that. Now, on this earth, under the law, the Lord Jesus could not have been a priest, let alone a high priest. Why? Because under the law, as given and as established, you had to be of the tribe of Levi to be a priest at all, and you had to be, more specifically, if you wanted to be the high priest, of the family of Aaron within Levi to be the high priest. Now, I've said this over and over, and you may have gotten tired of hearing it by now, but I'm going to go on saying it because it needs to be said and it needs to be emphasized. As long as he was on this earth, the Lord Jesus could not function as what we needed, the mediator, the high priest to go before God on our behalf. In order to do that, he had to die. He had to die, go into death, and be raised up again in glory. And that is why we read earlier in Hebrews that he was perfected by his life of suffering and his death on this earth. That perfected and completed him. And he had to go through that in order to be to us what we needed. Once again, our representative, our high priest. Now, let's ask the question again. What was wrong with the old covenant? The old covenant was weak in that it was of the flesh. Everything that was going on there was going on by, was being done by men who were dying just as quickly as they could, who were themselves frail and sinful, who themselves needed a Savior. And it was being done in buildings that they had made and built that couldn't stay around. And when you look at it now, none of it is here. There is no temple. There is no tabernacle. There is no priesthood on this earth. It's all gone. Now, where does that leave us? Well, in the first place, most of us aren't Jews anyway. We are Gentiles. We were always on the outside looking in. For those of you who are Jewish, where does that leave you? It leaves you in a veritable mess because there is nothing left for you under the old covenant. That indeed is what the writer of Hebrews is telling these Jews and keeps telling them and emphasizing to them. You want to go back to the temple? Well, there's nothing there to go back to. Nothing there to go back to. And that is doubly true now since there is no temple and none of this is there. Now let's go on and look at verse 6 of chapter 8. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry And the word here is liturgias, is the Greek word. It means a public ministry. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Now, the word here that we keep seeing jump out at us over and over again is better, excellent, better, more excellent. The new covenant, the second covenant, the thing that we are living under now is more excellent and better than the old one. Why? Because it is eternal and unchanging with a living high priest before God on our behalf, and he is there in that high and holy place, and he is not going to die. He is not going to get old. And the place where he is ministering for us is eternal in the heavens. It is unchanging. It will not be destroyed by the Babylonians or by anyone else. It is simply better in every way. Now, we got a little bit of time, so let's just forge ahead here. Verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Well, that's as clear as God could make it, isn't it? That's as clear as God could make it. You want to go back and look at the old covenant? Fine. But it's full of faults. It's full of problems. You might say, well, why'd God give it to us at all? Well, Paul answers that in the book of Galatians, doesn't he? It was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was to show us what our problems were and what our faults were. The law was nothing in the world but a spotlight that showed up our sin. By the law, wrote Paul to the Romans, is the knowledge of sin. Couldn't save us. All it could do was show us that we were lost. And we now have a better covenant, and there is a second. For finding fault, verse 8, with them he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And here we have the quotation out of Jeremiah now. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbors and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Now much of the language in there is aimed directly at Israel. Think about it. We're out of time. See you next week, Lord willing. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.